Research Foundation, collaborating with grantees and partners in the arts, school leadership, and youth development. More at wallacefoundation.org. This is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Solar. Since 1982, installing backup power such as automatic standby generators and backup battery systems for businesses and homes that can be used during storm season. More at cromwellsolar.com.
Lows in the upper 40s tonight, highs in the mid-70s tomorrow. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio. It's 6:06.
Go forward. It's a challenge, but I think the Republican staff will make that happen and present a solid plan, and I think the Republican legislature will adopt it. I think the governor will sign it.
For now, it's just talk at the Tiger Bay Club. How state lawmakers weigh the risk could determine who controls the House. For NPR News, I'm Douglas Soule in Tallahassee, Florida.
You're listening to All Things Considered.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, and we are always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for spending part of your day with us here at KPR. In our next 30 minutes, an update of news headlines. Then some voices from inside Iran. What's it feel like there these days? Get a look at this year's coming spring television programs. And we will hear from a Moscow poet highlighting the challenges of speaking out against the war in Ukraine, all coming up in the next 35 minutes here on KPR.
Don't let your aging RV take you for a ride. KPR's vehicle donation program will gladly take it off your hands so we can help fund the news and music programming you enjoy. Donate your car, truck, boat, or RV online at kansaspublicradio.org.
As far as the weather goes, partly cloudy tonight with a low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, sunny and breezy with a high in the mid-70s. Tomorrow night, a 40% chance of rain with lows in the lower 50s. Starting on Thursday, we have at least a 50% chance of rain every day all the way through Monday of next week. So get ready for some rain falling on this region.
Support for KPR comes from Security Benefit, with a philanthropic focus extending to over 100 organizations, helping those in need and focusing on education, health, and the arts. More information at securitybenefit.com.
66 degrees in Lawrence, 71 in Abilene, 58 in Atchison. You are listening to Kansas Public Radio, and the time is 6:20.
Examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning for Morning Edition, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. The very latest national, international, and regional news. And Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Flint Hills Discovery Center in Manhattan, Kansas, hosting the Flint Hills Festival Saturday, May 2nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., featuring live entertainment, vendors, children's activities, and more. Details at flinthillsdiscovery.org.
We have news headlines coming up in just a moment. It is 66 degrees in Lawrence, and it is 6:30.
Is no longer the Attorney General, and I'm the acting Attorney General, except for President Trump.
Blanche says he didn't seek out the job. He also denied that the administration is weaponizing the Justice Department at the direction of President Trump. A mixed bag of trading on Wall Street today as uncertainty about the war with Iran increased. The Dow lost 85 points. This is NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. A Kansas bill that lowers the educational standards required for nursing instructors will become law without the governor's signature. State House reporter Zach Boblett has the details.
The goal of the legislation is to make it easier to find nursing faculty in Kansas. Governor Laura Kelly said that she has concerns about lowering educational requirements, so she will let the bill become law without her signature. House Democrats voted unanimously against the bill. Democratic Rep. Melissa Oropeza, who works as a nurse practitioner, opposes the legislation.
I think it's just a lack of understanding about why the educational background is needed.
A similar bill in Florida led to a decrease in nursing licensure pass rates. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
A Kansas City woman who is suspected in the 2021 fatal shooting of KCUR reporter Aviva Okeson-Haberman was sentenced yesterday in a separate case. Peggy Lowe has the details.
A judge sentenced Idella Loopy Gardner to 15 years in prison for her part in a large federal drug conspiracy and wiretapping case involving a violent street gang. But the U.S. Attorney's Office also named Gardner as a suspect in the killing of Aviva Okeson-Haberman nearly 5 years ago. Agents said Gardner was actually aiming at a romantic rival across the hall from Okeson-Haberman's apartment. They asked the judge to add years to her sentence. Gardner is a 38-year-old mother of seven. She pleaded guilty to the drug charges but denied any role in Okeson-Haberman's homicide. I'm Peggy Lowe.
Governor Laura Kelly has signed a bill into law attempting to incentivize lawyers to work in rural areas. The program includes a two-pronged approach. It gives $3,000 yearly stipends to KU and Washburn law students that promise to practice in rural areas. It also gives new rural attorneys $20,000 a year in student loan forgiveness for up to 5 years. One of the people who worked on the bill is Washburn Law Associate Dean for Centers and External Programs, Sean Leisinger. He says rural lawyers are stretched thin.
Criminal defense counsel are traveling 2, 3, 4, 5 counties away just to serve the basic required appointments.
31 Kansas counties fall below the American Bar Association's recommended number of attorneys.
Support for Centered from NPR News.
At Morning Edition from NPR News, we know you're busy, so we get straight to the point. We go to the people who have the facts, who know the story firsthand, and the decision makers, and we ask the tough questions.
So, Bobby, bubble or no bubble?
Is the system ready?
Is that statement true?
Do they have a plan?
What's in the deal?
What does this mean then for elections in the fall?
Get to the point with us every weekday morning.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. We'll have the latest national, international, and regional news, all the developments from overnight, and more. From the University of Kansas, it's Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 in Lawrence. Also at 89.7 in Emporia, lots of other frequencies as well, and always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. We have streams of both our KPR1 and KPR2 services.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas State University, where researchers develop science-based solutions to conserve and manage water resources. More information at k-state.edu.
We do still have about 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. If you're joining us on KPR1 station, stay tuned following All Things Considered for news headlines, followed by Stardate, followed by some classical music till 9 o'clock. If you're joining us on KPR2, up next we have Reveal.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics. Former Kansas State Senator Jeff King and journalist Mark McCormick host A Republic, If You Can Keep It. April 8th at 4 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org.
It's 66 degrees in Lawrence, 71 in Abilene, 58 in Atchison. It's 10 minutes before 7.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from Proven Winners, with Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs, offering flowering shrubs and evergreens selected for home landscapes. More at provenwinnerscolorchoice.com/NPR. From Procter & Gamble, maker of ZzzQuil, with a range of products designed to relieve occasional sleeplessness to help people fall asleep. Learn more at ZzzQuil.com. From the Lodestar Foundation, inspired by the maxim that helping someone else less fortunate is a path to a happier, healthier, and more meaningful life. Learn more at LodestarFoundation.org. And from listeners like you, who donate to this NPR station.
Wherever you spend your morning, NPR's Morning Edition is there with you. Wherever the story takes place, NPR's Morning Edition connects it with you.
Dallas.
Des Moines.
Topeka.
Montana.
You will own your morning when you spend tomorrow with Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations. 5 to 9 a.m. It's Morning Edition with the very latest news. We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Farmers Market, celebrating 50 years of local foods. Opening day is Saturday, April 11th from 7:30 to 11:30 at 824 New Hampshire in downtown Lawrence. More information available at lawrencefarmersmarket.org.
Coming up next, news headlines followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Steve Seal as your host. At 9 o'clock, we shift gears. Here on KPR, you'll be hearing Jazz in the Night.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, sunshine, but very breezy. Gusty winds coming out of the south up to about 40 miles per hour. Highs tomorrow in the mid-70s. This is Kansas Public Radio, and it is 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump says he will hold off on striking Iran for 2 weeks as long as Iran agrees to the complete and immediate opening of the Strait of Hormuz to transport oil. NPR's Deepa Shivaram has more.
Trump said just hours ago that, quote, a whole civilization would die if Iran didn't reach a deal to reopen the strait by 8 p.m., but negotiations facilitated by Pakistan apparently moved forward after Pakistan asked Trump to hold off on increased attacks for 2 weeks and asked Iran to reopen the strait. Trump says he received a 10-point proposal from Iran and says it's a workable base point for negotiations. He says the 2-week pause will allow for the agreement to be finalized. Trump has extended the deadline for Iran to reopen the strait before. He's relenting this time because he says the U.S. has exceeded military objectives and that the agreement will lead to long-term peace in the region. Deepa Shivaram, NPR News, the White House.
A federal judge has rejected an effort by the state of Louisiana to end access to abortion medication through telemedicine nationally for now. As NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin reports, that means abortion access is staying the same.
The state of Louisiana filed this lawsuit last October, arguing that telemedicine access allows residents to get around the state's abortion ban. Federal Judge David C. Joseph, a Trump appointee, was sympathetic in his ruling to the state's arguments, but he granted a request from the Food and Drug Administration to put the case on hold while the agency does a review of the safety of the medicine, mifepristone. In the ruling, he wrote, quote, "It is FDA, not this court, that possesses the expertise to evaluate scientific evidence and make public health judgments." The judge ordered FDA to report on its progress in 6 months. Mifepristone has been approved and available in the U.S. for more than 25 years. Selena Simmons-Duffin, NPR News.
Lunar scientists have been poring over the spectacular photos sent back by the Artemis II astronauts. As NPR's Nell Greenfield-Boyce reports, the astronauts captured over 175 gigabytes of imagery when they flew by the moon and recorded hours of audio as they described the colors, craters, and ridges that they saw.
Kelsey Young is a geologist who leads the science team for the Artemis II mission. She says several dozen scientists are in a room at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston, scrutinizing the thousands of images.
And there is something in every image that surprises me, right? I mean, you might think that after looking at hundreds of images taken of the lunar surface, I would get sick of it. I have not.
She says NASA will release a report on all of the lunar science findings within 6 months after the end of the mission. The astronauts are expected to come home Friday with a splashdown in the Pacific. Nell Greenfield Boyce, NPR News.
This is NPR.
Stardate, April 7th. In October of 1604, a brilliant new star blazed to life in the constellation Ophiuchus. It was bright enough to see in the daytime for weeks. German astronomer Johannes Kepler kept a close eye on it until it faded from the night sky in 1606. So today it's known as Kepler's supernova. It's the last known supernova in the Milky Way galaxy. A space telescope has been keeping a close eye on the aftermath of that event for the past 25 years. That's revealed a lot about the supernova and the environment around it. The supernova flared to life when a stellar corpse known as a white dwarf tipped above its weight limit. The star either stole gas from a companion star or it merged with another white dwarf. Either way, the star was blasted to bits. The explosion expelled a huge cloud of debris, a nebula that today spans about a light year. It's extremely hot, so it produces a lot of X-rays. Chandra X-ray Observatory has taken many looks at the nebula. It's found that one side of it is expanding at about 2% of the speed of light. The opposite side is moving only one-third that fast. The slower side is also hotter. That's because it's running into more gas and dust around the nebula. Chandra will keep an eye on the nebula for as long as it can, telling us much more about the violent death of a star. The nebula is at the southern edge of Ophiuchus. At dawn tomorrow, it's to the upper right of the moon. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Time to welcome in this Tuesday evening, and there's good listening ahead from Mozart. His first violin concerto, Anasovi Mutter, will be the soloist there. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised by this, but I suppose if you purchase more sort of introductory piano books, there is a simplified version of Furie Lise by Beethoven. I found this out from my sister, actually, who was giving some sort of introductory-level piano lessons to a student. And so the whole middle section of this is removed. I said, "You mean the part that Linus doesn't play in Charlie Brown Christmas?" She said, "Yes, exactly, the part that Linus doesn't play." Well, Lang Lang is going to play the whole thing for us.
Thank you.
I guess now that you think of it, there's two sections that Linus doesn't play in Fuori Lisa by Beethoven. There's a B section and a C section. Lang Lang, with the whole thing. Fuori Lisa by Beethoven. A waltz fantasy by Mikhail Glinka, played here by the Armenian Philharmonic, conducted by Loris Chekhnovorian.
Thank you.
Russian composer Mikhail Glinka, a waltz fantasy. Loris Chekhnovorian on the Armenian Philharmonic.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Folly Theater, presenting the genre-defying music of jazz drummer and activist Terry Lynn Carrington on Saturday, April 18th. Tickets at follytheater.org. And the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through social and behavioral approaches to developmental disability research. Information about research at KU is at ku.edu. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 66 and fair. Wind is from the southeast at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-70s. Wind will be from the south at 20 to 25 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 66 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Anna-Sophie Mutter will play violin here in some music of Mozart. And he wrote 5 violin concertos during the course of his life. And he was primarily a keyboardist. We can trust that he was just as much a virtuoso violinist with the best of them in his day. And he probably played and premiered all 5 of his violin concerti. In fact, I think he wrote all of them and was over and done before he was even 20. First violin concerto by Mozart, Anna-Sophie Mutter, Sir Neville Mariner, and the Academy.
Thank you.
Anna Sophie Mutter, violin. Sir Neville Mariner conducted the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. Violin Concerto No. 1 by Mozart.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming pianist Oliver Moore, whose repertoire spans Bach, Mozart, Brahms, and beyond. Sunday, 2 p.m. in the Pavilion. Tickets at lead.ku.edu. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Casey Farm School in Kansas City, Kansas. Operating a regenerative vegetable and education farm, connecting people of all ages, ancestries, and abilities to land, soil, food, and community. Details at kcfarmschool.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 65 and fair. Wind is from the east-southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-70s. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 65 and fair. For the latest Northeast Kansas weather, keep it here at KPR all the time.
At home. So here's one of those things in classical music that I've never fully understood. It is a thing. Sometimes you've written this marvelous and powerful piece, like this one that I'm about to play you by Sir Edward Elgar. Why would you simply call it Introduction and Allegro? And we just wasted an opportunity to call it something magnificent Anyway, we'll never be able to ask Elgar, will we? But we will be able to enjoy the piece. The Introduction and Allegro by Sir Edward Elgar. For such a great piece, seems unfortunate that it would have such a kind of vanilla title as that. Nevertheless, the Royal Philharmonic, conducted by Pinchas Zukerman.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3, KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3, and online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 65 and fair. Wind is from the east-southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-70s. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 65 and fair. For the latest northeast Kansas weather, keep it here at KPR all the time.
If you're going to write 104 symphonies like Haydn, maybe there are some moments that kind of get lost in all of those movements. But if you're going to only write one, this is not to slight Haydn in any sort of way. I'm sure he worked equally diligently on all 104 of his symphonies, but Georges Bizet, he wrote only one of them. boy, oh, did he make every single moment count, every movement, every measure of that symphony in C. It's perfect. And it never gets old. It's coming up in about 12 minutes.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump says the U.S. and Israel will suspend bombing Iran for 2 weeks as long as Iran reopens the Strait of Hormuz, though Israel says it detected another wave of Iranian missiles following Trump's announcement, and missile alerts were also activated in the United Arab Emirates. Trump posted on social media that this would be a double-sided ceasefire and that the U.S. received a 10-point peace proposal from Iran, which he said was workable. The statement comes after Trump pledged to destroy Iran's civilization if a deal wasn't reached tonight. Iran says it will reopen the Strait of Hormuz with, quote, due consideration to technical limitations, as NPR's Aya Batraoui explains.
So that leaves open the possibility that we will see more ships going through the strait. But now it's clear that the strait is under Iran's control. The comment on technical limitations suggests to me the number may not be at the level of ships per day that were transiting freely before this war began. And also we heard from Iran's Supreme National Security Council that the government would negotiate with the U.S. this Friday in Pakistan's capital, Islamabad. And like Trump, they too said this doesn't mean an end to the war. And they noted that they are entering these talks with complete distrust.
NPR's Aya Batraoui reporting. Meanwhile, Pakistan's prime minister, who helped broker the ceasefire, wrote online that it also includes Lebanon, where Israel has killed more than 1,400 people as it battled with Iran-backed Hezbollah. More than a million people have been displaced during the conflict. U.S. journalist Shelley Kittleson has been released after being kidnapped in Baghdad last week. The powerful Iran-backed Iraqi militia said in a statement earlier in the day that it had decided to free the journalist. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the release shows the administration's steadfast commitment to the safety and security of American citizens, no matter where they are in the world. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche announced the Justice Department is officially launching its National Fraud Enforcement Division. He says the focus is on prosecuting fraud in taxpayer programs like health care and food benefits. NPR's Jacqueline Diaz has more.
Blanche says the Trump administration will not spare any resources in the Justice Department's effort to take down fraudsters. The acting attorney general announced new details of the National Fraud Enforcement Division during a press conference, during which he said the DOJ is looking to bring in 93 prosecutors in every district across the country to focus specifically on fraud cases. Critics have said this new division is redundant to divisions at the DOJ that have done this work for years. But Blanche says this effort will be comprehensive and will involve coordination across the whole government to take down government fraud. Jacqueline Diaz, NPR News.
Oil prices plunged tonight and U.S. stock futures jumped after Trump pulled back on his threats against Iran for 2 weeks. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. Republican District Attorney Clay Fuller has won a runoff election for a Georgia congressional district to replace former Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. That's according to a race call from the Associated Press. He defeated Democratic candidate Sean Harris by about 12 percentage points. Environmentalists and the Miccosukee tribe argued that in federal appeals court today that the immigrant detention facility in Florida's Everglades must wind down to preserve the environment in the tribe. From member station WLRN, Joshua Ceballos reports.
The Miccosukee tribe of Indians says the facility dubbed Alligator Alcatraz is interfering with its people's daily lives. Betty Osceola is an activist and member of the Miccosukee.
We can't even go down that road anymore to do what we do on a cultural aspect to honor, you know, our loved ones that have transitioned on. We're being put in a situation to have to look elsewhere to do that.
Her tribe and local environmentalists are suing Florida and the federal government to close the detention center because of its cultural and environmental impact. At issue is whether or not operations at Alligator Alcatraz should be halted while their lawsuit is ongoing. It's unknown when the court will hand down a decision. For NPR News, I'm Joshua Ceballos in Miami.
The Artemis II astronauts made an interstellar call with the International Space Station. It's the first such moonship-to-spaceship radio link-up ever. For Artemis II's Christina Cook and the station's Jessica Meir, it was a reunion. The two teamed up for the world's first all-female spacewalk in 2019. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Lilly Endowment, a private foundation supporting NPR's coverage of religion and spirituality, and Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts.
Larson. Hello there. I'm Steve Seal, and thank you for coming along for classical music tonight. If you're going to write one symphony, you could really aspire to write the one that Georges Bizet wrote. Almost a perfect piece of music, and we'll enjoy that in about 5 minutes. And a piece by the title of The Irish Four Seasons, a little bit later on. This is an etude by Chopin in A minor, subtitled Winter Winds, played here by Sviatoslav Richter. Let's take a bow. Vyacheslav Richter. Etude number 11 in A minor, Winter Wind by Chopin.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, hosting historian and author Rick Atkinson at the Dole Lecture April 13th, 7 p.m. at the Lead Center of Kansas. Tickets required. More at doleinstitute.org. And Eagles Rest Natural Home. Located in downtown Lawrence, specializing in toxin-free, customizable natural mattresses, bedding, and sustainably made furniture. Online at EaglesRestNaturalHome.com.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 65 and fair. Wind is from the east-southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-70s. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 65 and fair. For the latest Northeast Kansas weather, keep it here at KPR all the time.
Georges Bizet would write only one symphony, becoming ultimately better known for his operas than his instrumental writing. But this work, incredible to think that it was, I think, before he was even 20 years old, he composed this piece, and maybe he thought, man, I really nailed it there. I better quit while I'm ahead. The Symphony in C by Georges Bizet, as played here by the Paris Orchestra, conducted by Pavel Yerby. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Symphony in C by Georges Bizet, his one and only symphony. Every single measure, every single note, he makes it count. The Paris Orchestra, conducted there by Pavel Yervy. Steve Seal with you on this Tuesday night. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you. That is Ryan Green. It's actually spelled R-H-Y-U-H-N, but he pronounces it Ryan. Sometimes just Ryan is the name that he goes by. And he was playing a piece of his own called Symbiosis. Alva McDonough is an Irish cellist and composer, and in her capacity as a composer, she's written not just cello works, but piano music and orchestral music, and one notable piece in particular is this one, The Irish Four Seasons, where she's clearly inspired by Vivaldi, but intermingles Irish music influences throughout. Like Vivaldi's work, it's music for violin and orchestra. Linda O'Connor plays violin here with the group Animus, led by David Brophy, music of Alva McDonough.
Thank you.
Spring from the Irish Four Seasons by the Irish composer Alva McDonough. Not to be confused with Irish Spring. Yes. Animus, David Brophy conducted with violinist Linda O'Connor.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 62 and fair. Wind is from the east-southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-70s. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 62 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Iran says it has accepted a 2-week ceasefire and that it will negotiate with the U.S. in Pakistan beginning Friday. President Trump posted online that he's pulling back on his threats after earlier pledging that a whole civilization would die if Iran didn't reopen the Strait of Hormuz tonight. NPR's Deepa Shivaram has more.
After this very tense day, we did not see the president publicly. Very little was known about the negotiations going on. Trump announced at about 6:30 p.m. that there had been a breakthrough. He said in a post on social media again that if Iran agreed to a, quote, complete, immediate, and safe opening of the Strait of Hormuz, quote, I agree to suspend the bombing and attack of Iran for a period of 2 weeks.
NPR's Deepa Shivaram reporting. A large majority of American Jews are both pro-Israel and critical of Israeli government policies. NPR's Jason DeRose reports on a new poll of American Jews.
The Jewish Electorate Institute found an overwhelming 86% of American Jews describe themselves as generally pro-Israel. However, fewer than one quarter say they are both pro-Israel and supportive of Israeli policies. Nearly two-thirds identify as pro-Israel and critical of at least some of the Israeli government's policies. Despite extensive media coverage of the involvement of pro-Israel groups in recent U.S. primaries, few American Jews say they've been following the involvement closely. Fewer than 4 in 10 say they have at least heard about these efforts. The survey involved 800 American Jews in mid-March. Jason DeRose, NPR News.
The Artemis II spacecraft continues to have plumbing woes. Its toilet is working, but as NPR's Neil Greenfield Boyce reports, astronauts are having trouble emptying its wastewater tank.
Initially, the NASA team thought a vent out into space had gotten blocked by ice, but problems persisted even after they activated heaters and got the sun on that part of the spacecraft. Rick Henfling is an Artemis II flight director. He says the latest theory is that a chemical reaction might be making some kind of debris that's clogging a filter.
Once we get the spacecraft back into the processing facility in Florida, we'll be able to get access to all the components and do a real detailed fault tree to identify the root cause.
The astronauts are set to return to Earth Friday. They do have less high-tech alternatives to the toilet they can use in the meantime. Nell Greenfield Boyce, NPR News.
Vice President J.D. Vance is in Hungary to support Prime Minister Viktor Orban's re-election bid. The Trump administration is endorsing Orban, who's trailing in the polls ahead of Sunday's election. He's running for his fifth term against a center-right challenger. He criticized the EU for interfering in Hungary's election. Orban has been a controversial far-right figure known for his nationalist policies and opposition to immigration. This is NPR News from Washington. New research shows that financial gains for many black-led nonprofits after George Floyd's murder were short-lived. According to a study by Candid and ABFE, only a subset of large black-led nonprofits saw temporary funding increases. New funders tended to finance black-led nonprofits only for 1 year instead of sustaining grant recipients' longer-term goals. In Texas, the Board of Education is discussing a new social studies curriculum for K-12 students. Critics and educators gathered today outside the board meeting to protest. From member station KUT, Greta Diaz-Gonzalez-Vasquez reports.
The changes to the curriculum are based on a new framework that emphasizes Texas and U.S. history and de-emphasizes world history. Critics say its Western and Christian approach limits students' understanding of the world. Adrian Reyna, a public school teacher from San Antonio, says the curriculum is focused on Texas and American exceptionalism,
which denies our students and our community the opportunity to learn of some of the things that perhaps were not our shining moments, but were also critical to help us learn some lessons about how to better deal with some of the problems that we face as a community or as a country.
The board is set to take a final vote in June. The new curriculum would go into effect in 2030. I'm Greta Diaz-Gonzalez-Vasquez in Austin.
An American Airlines flight was delayed in Charlotte, North Carolina, after a swarm of bees tried to hitch a ride to San Francisco on one of the plane's turbines. According to WSOC-TV, the bee swarm was recorded by a passenger who said the flight was delayed by about an hour. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. RWJF is a national philanthropy working toward a future where health is no longer a privilege, but a right. Learn more at rwjf.org.
trombonist Eli Howell playing the standard Alone Together to open tonight's Jazz in the Night on KPR. It's his debut album, brand new one called Steps Taken, with Brian Lynch playing trumpet, Sherelle Cassidy on alto sax, and at the piano for that one, Xavier Davis, the bass work of Stephen Bowman, the drummer of Ulysses Owens Jr. We'll hear the new one from trumpeter Brian Lynch himself later this hour. And we've also got music from the marvelous trombonist Steve Davis and guitarist Paul Superglide's new one lined up as well. I'm Bob McWilliams. It's Jazz in the Night on KPR. We are going to go back to February 7th, 1966, which was the very first gig played at the Village Vanguard by the Thad Jones Mel Lewis Orchestra, what would become a decades-long band led by Thad and Mel, and after Thad left by Mel, and eventually the Vanguard Jazz Orchestra. A particularly exciting night. And it was recorded for radio broadcast, as was a night in March, but that material was never released publicly until a decade ago on a wonderful box set called All My Yesterdays, the debut in 1963 recording to the Village Vanguard. And let's hear one of those great Thad Jones compositions and arrangements. It's The Little Pixie. Thad's brother, Hank, is the piano soloist, Jerome Richardson, the alto sax soloist, and Thad himself as the final soloist as well. The Little Pixie on KPR's Jazz in the Night.